Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. You need to show audacity if you really want to stand out at work. Has anybody ever told you that? If you want to be successful in your career, you're going to need to show what's called audacity. Now, what in the world is audacity? It's the courage to think big. It's the courage to take risks. It's the courage to show initiative. It's the courage to have faith that you can dream bigger than you've ever dreamed before, even when you face the possibility of a failure. That's audacity. We see this trait through many people in the Bible, but especially in the life of Joseph. He had a dream so big, so incredible, and so audacious. Actually, nobody in the world believed him. None of his family believed in him. It was a dream that could be only fulfilled by depending on God. Now, there's going to be times when God asks you to take a big step of faith at work, even when nobody else thinks your plan will work. So let's see what else God has to say about your work and how to succeed by looking in the Bible. Let's get started now on our Daily Hope from Scripture.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Well, we come to the last couple of days of our series called Doing Business with God. In these lessons, we've been learning what it truly means to do our work as unto the Lord and how our work can be a form of ministry to others and worship to God. Whether your work is at home, on a job site, in an office, in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how you can find significance in your occupation, allowing you to enjoy your work more than ever. How does that sound? These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace. And you can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part three of a message called Standing Out at Work.
The third key to getting promoted is capacity. Not audacity, but capacity. Now, capacity is the amount of abilities that you've got, and if you're already using all of your abilities, you're not going to get promoted. If you're a four-cylinder person, that's all you got the capacity for, and you got a four-cylinder job, you're not going to get promoted. But if you keep developing and you keep growing and you keep learning and learning and learning and sharpening your skills, then you become an eight-cylinder or 12-cylinder person, and you're still in a four-cylinder job, you're going to get promoted because you have more capacity. You got to show that you've got the capacity to do more. Let me give you a definition of this third quality. Capacity is my potential for growth. My potential for growth. What is your potential for growth? Or are you just going to be the same 10 years from today as you are right now? You going to read any books between now and the next 10 years? You going to take any seminars? You going to grow? You going to develop any skills? You going to learn any relationship skills? It is the potential for growth. It is the desire to keep learning. That's what capacity is. The desire to keep learning. Why? So I can increase in competence and so I can handle greater responsibility. I have a friend who walked into a church one time. He was following a pastor who'd been there for many, many years, like 20, 30 years. And this guy went as a young guy, and he walked in, and here was the staff. And he drew a line on the board, and he wrote 1,000, because the church was running about 1,000 in attendance. And then he drew another line that said 2,000. He wrote out here. And he said, now, I know you all have the capacity to take a church to 1,000 in attendance and to love and to care for and to help and manage a church that size, because you're already doing it. We got a church of 1,000. What I don't know is, do you have the capacity to take the church to 2,000? And are you willing to learn and grow and develop your capacity so you can? We have staff who've been in our church now for almost 30 years, who've been with me, almost 30 years. Why? The number one characteristic of staff that has stayed all these years is the ability to keep growing and learning to do new things. Not doing the same thing I've always done, but to do new things, and new things, and newer things, and grow. And all leaders are learners. The moment you stop learning, you stop leading.
Growing businesses require growing people. The moment you stop growing, then the business can't grow. So you've got to have capacity. My potential for growth, the desire to keep learning so I increase in competence and handle greater and greater responsibilities. Now, this is what happened with Joseph. And if I had time, I'd show you how he keeps growing in capacity. First he does this, then he's able to do 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 this. And he keeps stretching himself, and he keeps learning and growing. He's not the same guy he was 10 years before. He's somebody totally different. Because he's got capacity and he's growing and growing. Look at Genesis 39. Joseph naturally became quite a favorite with Potiphar. Soon, Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his entire household and entrusted him with all of his business dealings. And from the day that Joseph was put in charge, from that day, the Lord began to bless Potiphar for Joseph's sake. Let me stop right there. Is God blessing the business you work for your sake? Is that blessing, is that church, that business, that organization, is that church or blessing or organization or business prospering because you're there? Is God blessing that business for your sake? Are you that kind of person? Do you have that kind of capacity? Joseph was put in charge, and the Lord began to bless Potiphar for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs began to run smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. Why? Because Joseph had capacity. Now, I'm going to tell you, when Joseph was a slave and taken to Egypt, he wasn't able to handle all that stuff. He had to grow in that. He had to learn how to manage livestock. He had to learn how to manage a household. He had to learn. If you keep learning, you'll keep growing, and God will keep blessing. But if you stop learning, and you think, well, this is all I need to know. You don't learn any new skills. You don't take it on yourself to keep growing. It's not going to happen. You're limited capacity. Okay, number four, the fourth key to getting promoted, we find in the next few verses of Joseph's life, is reliability. Reliability. Audacity, likability, capacity, reliability. Now, of all people, Christians should be the most reliable people in the workplace. Everybody agree with that? We ought to be the most dependable. We ought to be the most trustworthy. We ought to be the most consistent, the most stable, the most not flaky, steady, consistent people. Christians should be known for that person's reliable. If they say it, you can count on it. If they say they'll do it, it'll get done. It may take them, you know, extra hours or whatever, but it will get done because that person is reliable. The Bible says reliable communication permits progress. Here's the definition of reliability. Earning the trust of others. How? By always keeping my promises and fulfilling my responsibilities, even if it requires sacrifice. That's reliability. Keeping my promises, fulfilling my responsibilities, even if it requires sacrifice. In other words, this project was given to me and the boss tells me it can be done in 10 hours. And at 10 hours, I'm only halfway through it. And I'm going to have to put in the extra time at personal sacrifice to me. Am I reliable? Am I going to get it done? I say, sorry, it's his job. He should have given it to me sooner. He should have given it to me earlier. He should have given it to me a month ago. Yeah, okay, maybe that's right. Maybe you're exactly right. But reliability means I get it done, even if it means personal sacrifice for me. And that earns the trust of other people.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Standing Out at Work from our series called Doing Business with God. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word DAILY to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Many people aren't excited about their work, and they may even dread it. Maybe this is because we see our work as a necessary evil or just a means to an end. But when you look at your work from God's perspective, there's so much more. Did you know your work can be a form of worship to God? The Hebrew word for work in the Old Testament also means worship and serve. It doesn't matter if you're working in the home, at a job site, or in an executive office. Your work can be a ministry that brings honor to God. Pastor Rick Warren says that you'll find real significance and meaning in any job once you've got the Lord's perspective on it. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, Rick wants to send you his study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. This biblical look at work includes a 6-session DVD and workbook that will give you the tools you need to find purpose in your work, allowing you to enjoy your job more than ever, or maybe even for the first time. These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. And it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word daily to 313131.
Once again, here's Rick.
Genesis 39:6 tells us this. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. This guy was a slave a few minutes ago. With Joseph there, Potiphar didn't have a worry in the world except to decide what he wanted to eat. How'd you like to have a job like that? I'm CEO. What do you have to decide? Where are we having lunch? What else? Nothing. Why? Because Joseph's handling it. Wait a minute. You're getting all the profit. He's making all the decisions. Yeah. What decision do you have to make? I only have to make one decision. What is it? What do I want to eat? Really? That's it? That's all you? Now, I trust this guy so implicitly. I trust this guy's reliability. I trust his dependability. I trust his trustworthiness so much. The only decisions I have left to me is, what do I want to eat today? Every other single decision is being made by Joseph, the slave I bought who came from another country. I trust this guy that much. That is a huge promotion. Every single decision Potiphar had to make, and he's a very wealthy man. And this phrase here, he didn't have a worry, no worries, that's about the greatest compliment a boss could pay you. You don't have to worry about it. Why? Because she's handling it. You worried about that coming in? No. Why? Because he's got it taken care of. The greatest compliment a boss can pay you is, I'm not worried. That is the greatest compliment a boss can pay, because it says, I would trust them with my life. They are reliable. They are dependable. They are trustworthy. They are steady and stable. They are not flaky. They are reliable. I can count on them. And that's why Joseph kept getting promoted, because his bosses later on, in each of his lives, could say, I trust this guy with my life. When he was working for the warden in the prison, it says Joseph had favor with the prison warden, and the warden put the entire prison under Joseph's care. So you got a prisoner running the prison? Yeah. And what did the warden have to worry about? What am I going to eat today? This man knew how to be reliable. He kept his word, even if it meant personal hurt, personal loss, personal sacrifice, and he got it done. He fulfilled his responsibilities. That is what gets promoted. Capacity, responsibility, reliability. Number five. The fifth character quality we see in Joseph's life is, and its fifth key to getting promoted, is loyalty. Loyalty. And Joseph demonstrates this one in black and white starkness when the chips are down. Loyalty is a quality that is in short supply in our society today. Nobody is loyal to anything anymore. There's no such thing as brand loyalty. It's what's cheapest. And people aren't loyal to companies or to bosses or to leaders. They're loyal to themselves. It's an old-fashioned quality, but it's a quality that's so rare that when you find it in somebody, that person gets promoted. Now, when it comes to loyalty, one of the keys to loyalty is you don't talk about your boss behind her back. You don't talk about your boss behind his back. That's called loyalty. Disloyalty, there's another word for disloyalty, gossip. The Bible says God hates gossip. If you ever want to do a study, study the word gossip through the book of Proverbs and write down all the negative things God thinks about gossips. Gossips, God can't stand gossips. God detests, God despises gossips. And he goes on and on and on about it. And he says it destroys families, it destroys lives, it destroys nations, and on and on and on. Now, let me just tell you something you already know. If you work in an office, there are no secrets in an office. Quickest way to get something spread is say, this is confidential. Put that on an email, and guess what? It'll be on Twitter in 5 seconds or Facebook. This is confidential. There are no zero secrets in a workplace. Why? Because knowledge is power, and people like to think they have power by sharing knowledge with other people that they're not supposed to share it with. So I'm telling you this. Since there are no secrets at an office or at a workplace, if you're talking about your boss, he knows it. He already knows it. Because there are no secrets in an office. It gets out. And people who gossip to you, you take this one to the bank, will gossip about you. Anybody who gossips to you will also gossip about you. And the Bible says, if you listen to gossip, you are as bad as the gossiper. Do you know that in California, in fact, in most of the United States, it is a crime to accept stolen goods? In fact, the penalty for accepting, buying stolen goods that you know are stolen, ripped off, pirated, is the same penalty as the person who stole it. Gossip deals in stolen goods. It's stolen information, it's stolen reputation. And when you accept it, you are as guilty as the gossiper, God says. So you don't want to get involved in that one. You want to be loyal. Loyal people don't gossip. Now here's a definition of loyalty I wrote down for you. Loyalty, in particular at work, is being faithful to my boss and to God when difficulty tests my commitment. Being faithful to my boss and to God when difficulty tests my commitment. Now, circle the word difficulty, because it's easy to be loyal when everything's going great. When we're not having to lay anybody off, and when there's tons of money, and we're making a great profit, and things are going well, everybody's happy. Everybody's loyal when things are going great. But when the ship goes into the storm, that's where real loyalty comes out. Friends walk in when everybody else walks out. Those are real friends. And when you're down, truly loyal people don't kick you. They don't rub it in, they rub it out. That's loyalty. Loyal people are there not just in bad and good times and easy times. They're there in bad times. And I will tell you this, because God's more interested in your character than your career. Your loyalty will be tested. God will allow your loyalty to be tested. And he's not testing your boss at that moment. He's testing you. And he's seeing if he can trust you with greater responsibility in heaven. Joseph had a really tough test. Genesis 39, verse 6 and 8 and 9. Now Joseph was very handsome, and he was a well-built young man. So Potiphar's wife began to desire him and invited him to sleep with her. Wait a minute, the boss's wife is inviting the slave to sleep with her? Yeah, that's what's going on here. But notice, Joseph refused. But I want you to notice why he refused. Here's where the loyalty comes in. Look, he told her, my master trusts me. Let me stop right here. He doesn't start with God in this situation. Now, he gets to it in a minute. But his number one reason for being faithful and not committing adultery is, my master trusts me. That's an amazing statement. He didn't say, no, it's a sin to have sex with a married woman. Unless it's your married woman, your wife. He said, no, he doesn't say, he doesn't even talk about the sin at start. He says, my master trusts me. Why would you do this? Why would you? I'm loyal to your husband. Why would you do this? He says there, Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me. My master trusts me with everything is an entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I ever do such a wicked thing to him?
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org or iTunes.com and download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast to listen again. Rick's going to be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, whether you work in the home or on the job site or in an executive office, your work will become exciting when you look at it through God's perspective. That's why today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, Rick wants to send you his study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. This biblical look at work and employment includes a 6-session DVD and workbook that will give you the tools you need to make your work a form of ministry and worship. This resource will help you find purpose in your work, allowing you to enjoy your job more than ever, or maybe even for the first time. How does that sound? These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. And it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word daily to 313131. And now Pastor Rick with a final thought.
A number of years ago, I was writing a book and I got a letter from the publisher telling me all the things that were wrong with my book manuscript and why it would never, ever sell. One of the things the publisher said, your book has 40 chapters and nobody ever reads a 40-chapter book. Another thing the editor said was, there aren't enough stories in the book. But I explained that I didn't want to use anecdotes because I wanted the book to be international, not just for Americans. And then the editor said, it's got too many scriptures in it. And there were an average of 6 or 7 verses per page. And I told him, I trust God's word more than I trust my own words. And he gave me a whole list of concerns, but when I wrote him back, I said, you know, I value your opinion, but I really believe this is the way I'm supposed to do it. And I believe that I've been directed by God to do it this way. And if you don't want to do it this way, the way I've done it, then that's okay. I'll take the book back and I'll publish it myself. The publisher wrote back, said, no, it's okay. We'll do it your way and we'll publish it. Do you know what that book was called? The Purpose-Driven Life. You see, sometimes the experts are wrong, and sometimes you have to step out in faith. That's audacity. Now, let me ask you, where do you need to be audacious today, this week, this month? I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm talking about being audacious. Where do you need to believe God? Where do you need to trust God? Where do you need to step out in faith? Where do you need to think big? Where do you need to take an initiative and to step out on the edge and out on the limb where it's dangerous? You see, you never need to be afraid to go out on a limb because that's where the fruit is. You've got to take risks to live by faith. And if you're not taking any risks, you don't need any faith. If you don't need any faith, you are being unfaithful. So ask God to show you the answer to these questions. Thanks for listening today. I hope you'll join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.